Thank y'all so much for having me. Yeah, my wife is from, born and raised in Jackson, Mississippi. She was a Steele. If you ever heard, know a doctor named Al Steele, some of y'all, he may be your doctor. That's my father-in-law. In fact, we're staying with them right now. And as y'all know, Al and Mary Lee Steele are fine people if you know the Steeles. And so I'm honored to be their son-in-law and honored to be married to a Jackson girl. But enough of that. Let's look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Before we read that passage, what I want to talk to you tonight about is about the missional heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the first missionary. In fact, he's the first apostle. Apostle means someone who's been sent. And Jesus is the one who was sent from the Father. The mission of God in Jesus Christ. So tonight we're going to talk about the missional heart of Jesus Christ. Because we don't get the missional heart of Jesus Christ, how can we have a heart for missions? The only heart that you can have for missions in this city, and if you can't have a heart for missions in this city, you can't really have a heart for missions in Peru or wherever else. If we're ever going to have a true heart for missions, we must be captivated by the heart of Jesus for missions. So before I read that passage, I want to remind you of Jesus' first sermon that he preached in his hometown. First recorded sermon. It's from the book of Isaiah. And Jesus opens up the scroll and he preaches it, and he says something in that sermon. He reads from it and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of Jubilee." He said, "I have come so that the brokenhearted and so that the afraid," here's what he's saying, "the sinful, the guilty, the people at the end of their rope will experience freedom and life." And after that, nothing stops him on that mission. He carries out that mission in real life. Now, after hearing that sermon, he applies it. Now, look with me at Luke 5, verse 12. See, Jesus is not like a lot of preachers, like me sometimes. We make these big applications, we preach sermons, but then we don't do anything about it. Jesus does something about his sermon. He actually lives it out. Look what happens in verse 12. "While he was in one of the cities, there was a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, 'But go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them.' But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to see you in a new and fresh way tonight. We want to be renewed. We must be renewed by your Spirit, so that we can experience the joy of our salvation, so we can rest in your eternal love for us and be filled with your Spirit to carry out your mission right next door to us and to our families, but also across the city and across the state and the nation and the world. We know that one day your glory will be known in all the universe. We ask for that. We pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've done a few missions conferences. I'm not like a keynote. I'm not a Richard Pratt. I'm not a big name, right? But I've done a few conferences, done a missions conference. And one of the things I really want to try to get across is that the missional life is not just a conference. Missions is not just a conference. You've heard pastors say that before. It's not just a conference. Okay, great, Richie. But like, What does that mean? It has to start with your heart being warmed by the goodness and the kindness and the power of Jesus and His mission in your life. Have you experienced the mission of Jesus in your life? I had a professor in RTS, Elias Medeiros. Have y'all had him? Y'all had him before? Oh yeah. His voice was so loud that it rattled the walls in our room. So I wish I could repeat way to do his Brazilian accent. But he once said, and he said, if you're not a missionary, you're the mission field. The most provocative thing for me to hear as a 25-year-old seminary student. If you're not a missionary, you're the mission field. Well, the only way we can become a missionary, the only way we can be excited about missions, is we have to experience the mission of Jesus in our life. And I think you're going to see that in this passage tonight. There are three things we're going to look at. First, we're going to see desperation in this passage. The second, we're going to see compassion in this passage. The third thing we're going to see is fellowship, real fellowship that Jesus wants for us and one day will have for all of us together. Desperation, compassion, and fellowship. Desperation is the best word to describe a leper. A leper. An untouchable. That's what they're known in India, in the Hindu world. The untouchables are the lowest class in modern day India. The lowest caste, they're rejected by their families. They're not allowed to eat near any people who are clean. They have to use separate utensils. They do the lowest kind of jobs, the kind of jobs that work with blood and all types of filth. They're the most menial task. They're called the untouchables because literally no one will touch them. Now that's in the 21st century. That's what it's like to be a leper or an untouchable in India today. Can you imagine what it was like to be a leper in the first century? Luke tells us that this man is full of leprosy. Now, the Bible talks about people having leprosy, but doesn't always describe people as being full of leprosy. That means he had had leprosy for a long time. So you get an idea of this. And Luke is a physician, and so he liked to describe things this way. This man's condition was a long-term condition. He was full of leprosy, which meant this. This man would have been untouchable to his family for years and years and years. Was he married? Did he have children that he couldn't touch? Rabbis in the first century called leprosy living death. Because you couldn't live anymore, but you were still alive. In fact, it was worse than death. Now, none of us here know what it's like to be an untouchable like that. But you do know what it's like to have shame. You know what it's like to feel shame. You know, shame is different than guilt. Guilt is feeling guilty about things that you have done. Shame is who you are. Shame is what you wear. Shame is something that some of you, probably in a room this size, have felt your entire life worthless. But in the South, we're worthless with a big smile on our face, right? There was a man full of leprosy, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will make me clean. Falls on his face. Very descriptive language. Falls on his face. That's desperation, isn't it? Falls on his face. And this is not a popular picture of Christianity. Someone who's desperate. Someone who's at the end of his or her rope, falling on their face, begging, coming apart at the seams. But here's when you start understanding who Jesus is. Those are the only kind of people around Jesus. Jesus had people like that constantly around him. In two chapters from this, in chapter 7, there's a prostitute doing the exact same thing who's at his feet, crying at his feet, weeping at his feet, washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair and pouring oil over his feet. And so what you have here is the definition of desperation, a human soul laid bare. Desperate for cleansing. Desperate for healing. Desperate for peace. To relieve the suffering, the agony. It's always been around, folks. Desperation is the only thing that will take you to Jesus. Do you know that? Need is the only way you can experience the mission of Jesus in your life. Now, that's the opposite of our culture. Because our culture is about succeeding. Our culture is about having it together. Our culture is about being smart, about being strong, about as my family, we enjoy, my mother and my father, we always took the Christmas card picture with the white shirts on the beach. They're big, beautiful smiles. I know none of y'all have ever done that here. We wanted to be the picture, the Christmas card picture, but behind that, there was tremendous brokenness. So even in Christian circles, you have to be together. But here's the point. Jesus can only become real to you, and you can only experience his power when you admit your desperation to him. Folks, I've been in ministry for 11 years. I know that's not as long as Steve. I went to seminary. I've dealt with a lot of people. I've buried people. I've married people. Folks, if there's anything that you're going to hear that's true, that is the absolute truth. Need brings you to Jesus. Self-sufficiency keeps you away from him. Desperation. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe that's exactly right. Maybe that's why y'all came to Missions Conference tonight. So maybe I'll hear some shred of hope that I need to hear tonight. That the people that surround Jesus are people of desperation. What does that look like in your life? That's the only way you can experience the mission of Jesus in your life. Desperation. Second point, compassion. See, what is our desperation met with? It's compassion. So the question is, here's this man, he's making a scene. People always made a scene around Jesus. He falls at his feet. He's a leper, and if Jesus is a good rabbi, he's going to not touch this man, because to touch a man who was full of leprosy would have made Jesus ceremonially unclean. He would have said, "Well, peace be with you, brother. I've got to go. I've got a lunch. I'm busy." In fact, rabbis often taught that people with various diseases and various things that made them untouchable, they deserved what happened to them. But Luke tells us something about Jesus, that he has pity. He has compassion on him. This word's used over and over again, like in Luke chapter 10, he has compassion on him. And you just see it. Luke doesn't even tell us that he has compassion, because Jesus is moved with compassion. And that word pity is a gut-wrenching compassion. And it's used over and over and over again in the Gospels. So the question before you here tonight: are you desperate? Have you ever fallen on your face before God? Not knowing what to say, not having anything but sorrow, like Psalm 42, day and night. Psalm 42 says, day and night, my tears have been my food. Have any of y'all ever experienced crying so much and so much sorrow? Do you see what the song, that your tears have been your food, that you can't eat because you're so sad? Maybe you're so wrecked by something you did or you thought or you said. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was last night. Maybe it was 20 years ago and it's never left you. Maybe you're so weighed down by life that your soul is threadbare. How is Jesus going to respond to you? And what Luke is telling us to give us great encouragement, the missional heart of Jesus is this. Jesus has pity on you. He's not rolling his eyes. He has a gut-wrenching compassion. Folks, that's why God came to this earth. God came to this earth because his love moved him. It moved him to the depth of his being that he would leave heaven and come and be born in a manger. His pity made him leave the highest heaven and come and be born and placed in a manger. You know what a manger is? It's a dog bowl. You know that, don't you? That's what it is. He came so low. Do you know why he came so low? It's because any leper could get to him. I don't know where you are tonight, but you need to hear that. You need to hear that again. You don't have to be big shot to get to Jesus. Jesus came so near to you, so near to you, so he could reach you. He came to you. That is what a missionary is. And the second thing that Jesus does is he touches this man. And the word, he doesn't just sort of touch him. He grabs him. He touches him. Before he heals him, he touches him. This is important. Because Jesus didn't need to touch anyone to heal him. We find that Jesus can like calm storms by saying, stop. I mean, Jesus is so powerful, he can just say, stop, and the storm will just stop. He can cast out demons from like 100 yards away. Get out of here, and they will. He doesn't need to conjure anything up to touch anyone to make anything happen, but he touches him. Now, I want you to, that tells us something about what Jesus was like and is like. Can you imagine what those hands felt like on this man's neck? Nobody touched him for years. But Jesus' compassion moves him, and he touches this man's filth. Sinclair Ferguson, one of my favorite pastors, he put it this way. Jesus, by touching him, is saying this, I am prepared to become, by choice, what you are, leper, by nature, a man under the judgment of the law, in order to share with you what I have, freedom and life. And here's what he's saying, I'm going to take your dirt and your filth onto me. This is what the missional heart of Jesus, I'm going to take your stuff onto me, and I'm going to give you my cleanliness. I'm going to give you my holiness. I'm going to give you my freedom. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to transfer. I'm going to become dirty so that you can become clean. Folks, there is nothing so unclean about you that Jesus Christ cannot clean you up. There is nothing in your life that he can't handle. He's the second person of the Trinity. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Y'all see these two things together? All authority in heaven and on earth is mine. That's all authority, right? That's all authority over all presidents and kings and teachers and parents and bosses, over all countries, over all states, over all nations, over ISIS, over everyone, over all media, over all science, over all everything. And this one who has all authority, all over everything, has come to touch us. You know what that means? Try him. Well, Richie, I've got this, this, and this in my life. Try him. He's big enough. and his power, what he's going to do, we have a little microcosm in this picture, is that Jesus Christ hates what sin has done to his creation. It breaks his heart. And so he came into this world to renovate the creation. That's why he touches this man, and this man's healed like that. You talk about a good day. You talk about a good day full of leprosy. And Jesus says, go to Moses, go to the rabbis. Tell them what happened here. Prove it. You'll show them what I've done. Don't tell anybody else, but you go tell them. Of course, he tells everybody. Because Jesus Christ has come to fulfill the law of Moses, to take all the sin and all the death and drink it to the very last drop into himself on the cross to finally renovate the entire cosmos. Compassion. Compassion. Let me ask you this. You may know the term compassion. You may know the definition of compassion. You may be, we're in a town with a seminary. You may be even given the Greek definition of compassion. But have you ever tasted the compassion of Jesus Christ in you? That's what changed my life. I was 22 years old. I was in Nashville, Tennessee. And I was going to go. There was a small community of singer-songwriters in Nashville. That's a joke, by the way. I thought I was going to make it as a musician. I was going to make it. Because I was a big deal in Little Rock, obviously. So Nashville, certainly, they were going to sign me up right away, right? So I go to school in Texas, and I come to Nashville, and I'm going to make it big time. And I realized that I'm just another face in the crowd. And then I was never going to be famous. And then all I had was me and my mess. All I had was me and my sin. And I was 22 years old, and I heard Scotty Smith preaching in Franklin, Tennessee about the grace of God, and I realized that I went from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus. And I've never been the same, y'all. Because I thought I had to get up here to finally find Jesus. Reality is, people don't miss Jesus because they can't get up to him. They miss Jesus because they don't want to go down to him. You don't want to get off your high horse. You don't want to be needy. But folks, if you don't become needy, you'll never experience the compassion of Jesus and the power of Jesus. And folks, that's what makes people into pastors and missionaries and all these other things. Heck, most of y'all won't be missionaries. But you know what you can be? Someone who has been transformed by the love of God in your life. Folks, that is the most effective evangelism you can have. You just want to tell people about Jesus because he's been so good to you. That's what this guy does. Third thing about this, fellowship. So three words, really simple: desperation, compassion, and fellowship. Fellowship. Why do I say fellowship? This is what the mission of Jesus is going to accomplish. He's going to bring us back together. He gives this man back to his family. Go home. Go back to your community. If you had leprosy, you couldn't worship with your community. You couldn't be a part of the people of God. You were ceremonially unclean. Go back. Go back to your family. Go back to your wife. Go back to your parents. Go back to your people. Jesus Christ has come into this world to take our uncleanness and to make us clean with his holiness and his righteousness, to make us into the people of God, to be conformed to the image of his Son. So it's really simple. What is Jesus doing in his ultimate mission? He's bringing us home. Home. Revelation chapter 21, God says this. He says that the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will be their God, and they will be his people. It's described as a wedding, a fellowship, and the joy that comes from this wedding. Jesus Christ has shown compassion to the desperate so that they can be brought into the family of God, and so there'll be this great party that ends it all. That's what missionaries are for. So that we can move everyone that we can find to tell everyone about Jesus. The hope, a history, is going towards a party. the great fellowship of bringing us all together. I want to close with one story. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. I don't know if that's okay to say. Yeah, I say it. Like, it's my favorite story in the Bible. I believe all the Bible's inspired, but certain stories resonate with you more. It's the story of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. I was in Israel several years ago, and I drove past this little, our bus drove past this little bitty town, just a rubble by the Sea of Galilee. And our guide said, in some broken English, he said, "This is the town of Magdala." It was maybe the size of the sanctuary. It was nowhere. It was a nowhere town in Galilee. One day, Jesus went to this town, and this woman, second-class citizen, worthless in Jesus's, in that world. This woman was possessed by seven demons. Now, if you think a leper would be untouchable, a woman who is possessed by demons would have been the most miserable, outcast, full of fear and absolute terror. Jesus went to Magdala, this little podunk town, to free her. And he did. He delivered her from all the oppression. Why? Because that's what God does. And you know what she did? She followed him. She became one of his disciples. She took care of Jesus. So much so that Mary is the only one of the disciples that saw Jesus in his earthly ministry, that witnessed his betrayal, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we have this picture of her at the end of John's gospel where she's weeping outside the tomb. She's weeping outside this tomb. Because now she's come to bring spices and things to care for Jesus, even in death. She loved Jesus so much that she was going to, no one else was there. She was going to care for Jesus even in death. Because what had Jesus done? What had Jesus done for her? He had delivered her. She can't imagine life without Jesus. And so there is, his body's not even there. His body's not even there. And you remember what happens? Jesus, who she thinks is the gardener, says, "Woman, why are you crying?" She says, "Don't, if you've done something with his body, will you tell me where you've taken it? Can you tell me where they've taken it?" It's a sad, sad, gut-wrenching part of the story. And then finally, Jesus can't stand it anymore, and he says, "Mary." And she says, "Lord, teacher." I'm going to tell you why that story is so precious and why you get the heart of Jesus Christ. Of all the people that Jesus Christ could have appeared to first, if I were Jesus, I would have gone to see Pontius Pilate first. I mean, come on. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you're resurrected. Pilate was all the things like, "Hey, is Pilate in?" Bad decision, man. If Jesus could go see Peter first, who denied him, or Jesus could go see all the people who denied him first, all the different things, all the important people that Jesus could go see, Jesus Christ goes to Mary from Magdala, the hopeless, helpless, demon-possessed woman, first. You know what that means for you and for me? Jesus did not come so that we might make it someday. Jesus did not come in all to find us in all our strength or give us the American dream. The mission of Jesus in this world was to come to the desperate, have compassion and renovate them so that he might love them and be with them forever. Folks, has that message captured you? Does it need to capture you again? Do you need to be warmed by that again? In other words, please don't let this sermon, this little talk, don't let it be for the other person on the pew. You know, I've done that before. I think about, well, I sure hope so-and-so is here to hear that. I sure hope she's listening, maybe your wife. It's for you. It's for you. Has the mission of Jesus touched you? And maybe it has. And maybe you're being reminded about it again. And so this missions conference is a time for you to ask the Lord that you might experience the joy of your salvation. And that you might be excited and thrilled by what God is doing in this world. Folks, there are more Christians on this planet now than ever before. Turn the news off. It's not all the truth. ISIS will not win. Jesus Christ is enthroned this very minute. The same Jesus that touched this man, the same Jesus that called out to Mary and appeared to her first, and one day he will split the sky and he will come back and he will renovate what he started to do 2,000 years ago. That is the mission heart of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your kindness. And as you say in Matthew's gospel, your gentleness, your lowliness of heart, which means that you're unpretentious, which means that you're not judgmental, even though you're the great judge, which means that you're full of justice and you're full of mercy. And there is no one like you. That you are our King, sent from the Father. Lord, fill us with your Spirit that we might love you and know the desperation that this man knew. Know the desperate need of a Savior once again and be thrilled by faith that you come for us, this leper and Mary from Magdala. We thank you and praise you in your precious name. Amen.